Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the conclusion of a teaching that I've been doing on the fear of the Lord for 4 weeks. This is a brand new teaching that I have, and I tell you, I think that it is timely. This is a word from God towards our entire society, Christian or non-Christian, but the Christian can certainly benefit from this. And today's going to be my last day to offer all of these materials. I got a brand new CD set, DVD set, two DVD sets. One of them was taken from our television programs, the other one from a live teaching that I did in Fort Worth, Texas. And today is going to be my last day to offer this teaching on the fear of the Lord. I encourage you to please go to the effort of getting this because I think it could affect you and it could affect other people. So please take advantage of this. I've already covered a lot of things and I hadn't got time to go back and summarize it. I've still got a lot I want to say today. But today, let me just talk about how that the fear of the Lord is not taught for the believer. Is not talking about a dread, a terror of the Lord, but it's talking about a reverence, an honor, a love, a respect, a commitment to the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is synonymous with following His instructions. If you truly honor a person, then you're going to honor their opinion. If you truly respect a person, you are going to follow their leadership, especially when they are higher in authority and power and wisdom than you are. And for a person to say that they truly fear the Lord, respect Him, honor, value, prize, trust the Lord, and yet you go your own direction, God says go this way and you go this way, you don't fear the Lord. I don't know how to say that any differently, but you know what? What you are speaks so loud that I can't hear what you're saying. If you truly fear the Lord, it's going to cause you to follow Him. Now, you may not do it perfectly because all of us are human and there's times that we get caught up in our own emotions and we don't realize what we're doing. But I'm saying that your desire will be to follow the Lord. You won't do it perfectly, but your life will go that direction. For a person to say, oh, I fear the Lord, I honor Him, I respect Him, I trust Him, I reverence the Lord, and yet you are doing everything contrary to Him, you don't fear God. The Lord gave instructions to us, not because He just tried to put restrictions on us and wanted to hurt us. He did it because He's the one that created us and He knows what makes us tick. He knows that it's better. He said this in Mark chapter 10. He says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And the emphasis here, he was answering a question by the scribes and Pharisees. Can a man just divorce his wife for any reason and go get another one and get married and divorced and have multiple partners? And he was answering that question by saying, no, God made them in the beginning male and female, not male and females, plural. He didn't want polygamy. He indulged it at one time. Even Abraham had multiple wives, David, etc. But that was not God's will. He made them male and female. And for this reason, a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. God didn't say those things because He's trying to restrict us and cut back on our fun and our sexual pleasure. He did it because He knew that this is the way that we would be satisfied. You know, Solomon is a man who started out good. And he started out seeking the Lord. And he had a very humble heart. And God appeared unto him in a dream when he first became king, when he took over from his father David. And he says, what do you want? Ask of me anything and I'll give it to you. And instead of him asking for multiple wives, instead of him asking for ability to dominate and conquer the world, instead of him asking for money and riches and fame, he says, I need wisdom to be able to judge your people because I'm not up to the task. And that pleased God so much. He says, I'm going to give you wisdom like no person has ever had wisdom. And because you didn't ask for it, I'm going to give you gold and silver. I'll make you the richest person that has ever or will ever live. Now, I don't know if that's a relative statement to the rest of the people of his day or if it's literal, that no person has ever had as much wealth as Solomon ever had. But certainly he was one of the richest people that has ever lived on this earth. It says in the Bible that in his days silver was like nothing. They threw silver on the streets like rocks and walked upon it. There was so much prosperity that people didn't even acknowledge silver. It was just a rock. Well, I've never seen that. That's certainly not the way it is today. Solomon was filthy, stinking, dirty, rich, and it happened as a blessing of the Lord because he didn't ask for those things. He asked for wisdom. And so God blessed him. But Solomon began to get away from the Lord. And here's how it happened. Over in 1 Kings chapter 11, after he had built the house of the Lord, the temple, after he had dedicated it, after he built his house and he did all of these things, he began to violate the instructions of the Lord. And this is the reason I'm bringing this out, that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and it's to cleave to the ways of God and to reject things contrary to that. And Solomon began to go against the fear of the Lord. At one time, he feared God and wanted nothing but God. But the Scripture specifically says, I hadn't got time today. It's my last day, so I'm talking as fast as I can. I hadn't got time to turn back to this, but you can go study it out on your own. The Lord specifically said, when you make a king over this nation, do not let him multiply horses to himself. Some people may think, well, that's a restriction. Why would God say that? He went on to explain, because that means they'll have to go back into Egypt. That's where the horses came from in those days. The Arabians were the parent horses. And they would have had to go back into Egypt, and he did not want his people to ever go back into Egypt. There needed to be a clean break. Don't go back to them. Don't depend upon them for anything. But Solomon began to start building stables by the hundreds and by the thousands. He built entire cities to stall all of his horses. He loved horses, and here in 1 Kings chapter 11, it says in verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their god. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that was before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all the strange wives which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And this god Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, they actually offered human sacrifices. They took babies and burnt them upon that altar. And this is the man that at one time loved God and was so blessed of God. But it says here that his wives, and in another place it'll link it to these horses, turned away his heart from the Lord. In other words, God had given a command, don't multiply to yourself horses, don't have multiple wives, and don't marry outside of the nation of Israel. This isn't just talking about the DNA pool. It's talking about their faith in God. This would be a similar thing to what was said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, about don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Lord was instructing his people, don't marry people of other faiths who have multiple gods and worship these different things, because it'll turn your heart away from the Lord. He didn't say this because he hated everybody that was outside of the Jewish nation, any more than he says to Christians today that he hates unbelievers and don't marry an unbeliever. He says it because he knows that this is going to be a conflict in your life, and they could wind up perverting your heart and turning you away from the Lord. You know, if you take a good apple and put it next to an apple that's rotten, did you know that the rotten apple never becomes good? But the good apple always turns rotten. You catch disease. You catch putrefaction. You don't catch healing. You don't catch goodness. And yet people think, oh, I'm going to be a good influence on these people. The Lord gave us instructions, and if you truly have the fear of the Lord, you'll do it. Even if you don't understand the logic behind it, you have to understand that God is a good God, and the reason He gave us instructions is for our own good. He told Solomon not to do this, and Solomon did it, and what was the end result? Solomon wound up rejecting the Lord, who had appeared unto him twice, who had blessed him the way that no other person on the face of the earth had ever been blessed. You know, if he would have operated in the fear of the Lord, which is to hate evil and forsake things that are contrary to God's instructions, he would have still had been prosperous. And as a result, Solomon suffered himself, and then his kingdom was divided in two. And a man named Jeroboam took away 10 of the tribes of Israel and started the northern country of Israel, and his son Rehoboam kept the two southern tribes, and so that was the kingdom of Judah and Israel, and the entire nation of Israel was split, and the northern 10 tribes under Jeroboam, they forsook the Lord. They began to worship other gods, and as a result, they went into captivity hundreds of years before the group of people who still maintained their faith in the Lord. And they didn't do it perfectly, and yet it allowed the extension of that kingdom for hundreds of years because the fear of the Lord was more prominent in the southern kingdom of Judah than it was in the northern kingdom of Israel. I tell you, everything that we're saying here fits perfectly with what I've been teaching. If Solomon would have honored the Lord, trusted the Lord, not leaned unto his own understanding, but had the fear of the Lord and followed him, then you know what? He wouldn't have married these 700 wives and 300 concubines. It's hard to believe that that's the smartest man on the face of the earth. You know, I can't see this. You know, you can go to scriptures. Abraham, it says in Mark chapter 10, that because of the hardness of people's hearts, God allowed us to divorce and remarry and have polygamy in the Old Testament. It was because of the hardness of their heart, but God never intended this, and Jesus made that very clear. But you can go back to Abraham, and see that Abraham had multiple wives. He had Sarah, but because Sarah was barren, Sarah gave her handmaid, her slave, to Abraham, Hagar, and the son, Isaac, became the father of all of the Arabs, and the whole Arab-Israeli conflict that we see today dates back to the time of Abraham because he had multiple wives. There was conflict between Isaac and Ishmael. I think I said that wrong a minute ago. Ishmael was the son of Hagar. Isaac was the son of Sarah. And they hated each other, and there was conflict. And eventually, Abraham had to cast out Hagar and Ishmael and put them out because Sarah was so incensed with the whole thing. And on you can go, just right down the line. You find out that Jacob, Abraham's grandson, he had multiple wives, two sisters. And then their concubines or their handmaids. So he had basically four wives, and there was tremendous strife and division and hatred among the kids, so much so that they tried to kill Joseph and wound up selling him into slavery, went down to Egypt, and on. If you go to Scripture, the Lord told us to live a certain way where you have one wife, not because He doesn't want you to satisfy your desires. It's because He knows that that is not going to satisfy you, and it breeds problems and contempt. And He told Solomon not to have multiple wives, and yet Solomon ignored this and had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And it turned his heart away from the Lord. It cost him, who knows, I don't know whether Solomon's going to be in heaven or not, because his end result was that he was worshiping all of these other gods. I don't know. I'm sure God's judgment will be perfect, but it cost him. He suffered because of it. It cost his children big time. It cost the entire nation of Israel, northern Israel and Judah, terrible suffering and multiple terrible things. Ungodly rulers came out of this that wouldn't have happened if Solomon would have continued to operate in integrity. And all of this happened because a man did not fear the Lord enough to follow his instructions. I tell you, if you're listening, this ought to be speaking volumes to you. And let me bring all of this down to something that applies to us. There are some of you thinking, well, what does this have to do with me? Every day you're being faced with decisions about, are you going to fear the Lord? Are you going to honor Him? Are you going to trust what He told you and believe that He has more sense than you do? Are you going to follow His directions, or are you going to lean under your own understanding? Are you going to do it your way? Are you going to follow this world who is going to hell in a handbasket? And are you going to follow their values and accept their morality? Or are you going to go by what the Word of God says? If you truly fear the Lord, you have to go by what He has revealed to us in the Word. You have to honor Him and trust His wisdom above your wisdom. And if you would do that, it would prolong your life. You would live better. You would be more blessed than you've ever been. You know, the blessing of the Lord will make you rich, and He'll add no sorrow with it. That's out of the book of Proverbs. God wants to prosper you. God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God's not out to ruin your life. He's out to bless your life. He is the Creator. And this is His owner's manual. This tells us what is good for us and what is bad for us. And our society today says, no, this is all wrong. This is outdated. This does not apply to us today. But I can guarantee you it does. I have lived by this. And I haven't done it perfectly, but to the degree that I have honored the Lord, feared the Lord, and put God first, it has kept me from making so many mistakes. You know, when it came time to get married, it's a long story. I hadn't got time to go into this, but I got totally burned out on the way that Americans date and just try out, and you get your emotions involved, and you get to where you're lusting and feeling all of these things. And then, for a Christian, you try and go say, God, is this the one you want me to marry? And you can't hear that still small voice because your emotions are screaming so loud. So because of that, I made a decision. I would never date. And I went 4 or 5 years and never dated anybody. And I stood upon the Scriptures that says that whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. And then it says that the Lord, Psalms 34, will not withhold any good thing from them who fear Him. See, here again, talking about the fear of the Lord, who honor Him, who are trusting Him, who are seeking Him. And so I put those two Scriptures together and said, if a wife is a good thing for me, then God will bring her to me. He brought Eve to Adam, Ruth to Boaz, Rebekah to Isaac. God can arrange marriages. God could put this together. And I said, God, I am not seeking a wife. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you are bound unto a wife, seek not to be loose. But if you are loose, talking about if you aren't married, do not seek a wife. Oh, that's, talk about counterculture. There are people think, I've just got to have somebody. The Scripture says, don't seek a wife. If a wife is from God, if she's a good thing, He won't withhold any good thing from you. And so I did that, and I prayed, and I said, God, I'm headed this direction, and if I have to be like the Apostle Paul and never get married, fine with me. You are sufficient. But if your will is for me to get married, you will put a wife in my path. And I said this in my prayer. I said, I believe I'll have to backslide on you. I'll have to literally go against you to miss my wife. And I hadn't got time on today's program to go into it, but that's exactly what happened. God put Jamie and me together supernaturally. We were engaged to be married before we ever held hands. And you know what? We have now been married this coming anniversary. It'll be 39 years. It's been an awesome marriage. I don't think there's another woman on the face of the earth that would have stuck with me through some of the things I've been through. We've had some hard things happen. And you know what? Jamie is a great thing. Whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing. She is a good thing. And God, the fear of the Lord, caused that to come to pass in my life. I'm not smart enough to pick somebody. I don't know what they're going to do 20, 30 years after you marry them. There are some of you that have leaned under your own understanding. You pick the prettiest one, the most attractive one, the biggest, strongest one, or whatever it is that you used as criteria. You leaned under your own understanding, and I just want to ask you, how's that working out for you? Amen. There's some of you that have made major problems. If you would have put the fear of the Lord and have taken those scriptures and have honored God, did you know God would have brought you the perfect mate? And likewise, the same thing is true of your vocation. I put the Lord first. I went to seeking God. What do you want me to do? God has revealed Himself to me. God's blessings are coming upon me and overtaking me. I tell you, everywhere I turn, everything I'm touching is just blessed, and it's turning into blessings. There are some of you that can't say that, and it's because you don't have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord causes you to prosper. The fear of the Lord will advance you. It'll give you favor. I'm telling you, the fear of the Lord is not a negative thing. It is a super, super positive thing. I've spent 4 weeks trying to teach this in a way that it takes away this sense that you're supposed to be terrified of the Lord and fearful of Him punishing and judging you, especially for those of you who've been born again. That doesn't apply to you. There is no condemnation coming to you. It all came upon Jesus. But does that mean that you don't honor and respect and trust God's opinion more than your own? That you aren't more committed to God than you are to men? That you aren't seeking His favor more than you're seeking the favor of men? Absolutely not. We're supposed to have a fear of God in all of those positive ways of interpreting that. And this is something that you need. And it would promote you. It would keep you from going off the rails. I promise you, if you fear the Lord, Proverbs 16:6, the fear of the Lord causes you men to depart from evil. It'll cause you, it'll keep you going in the right direction. It'll keep your heart from becoming hardened. It'll cause you to prosper. Brothers and sisters, you need the fear of the Lord. I really believe that. And I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart. I know I'm speaking to people all over the world. And some of you live in cultures where the fear of the Lord is nearly non-existent. And if you aren't careful, that iniquity will cause your heart to wax cold. It'll cool off your fear of the Lord. But you can fan it. I believe that these programs are causing these things to rise up, that the Holy Spirit's bearing witness, and praise God, I believe that this is going to make a difference in your life. Today is my last day to teach on the fear of the Lord, so we aren't offering any of the materials next week. If you're going to receive these, you need to call or write today. Our announcer is going to give you some information about how to get these materials, and I encourage you to please call the number that you see on your screen. This would change your life. And also, this is a tremendous way to share this truth with someone else. I promise you it'd be a blessing. So call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Fear of the Lord was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page.
Let me remind you that today is the end of this teaching on the fear of the Lord. I've got this brand new album, a CD, also two DVD albums, one live, one made from television. And all of this is brand new teaching on the fear of the Lord. Today's our last day to offer this. I encourage you to please get it. This could change your life, or certainly could change the life of someone else. These are truths from God's Word that you aren't going to hear expounded on very often, certainly not from a grace perspective. And I believe that this could really make a difference in your life. So we have some information on your screen. Listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled No Want or Lack, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 9th through the 11th, in Humboldt, Texas on Sunday, February 12th, in Seattle, Washington for a Gospel Truth Rally February 17th, in Portland, Oregon for a Gospel Truth Rally February 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Caris Bible College Campus Days March 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar March 29th through the 31st, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 12th through the 14th, and in Colorado Springs for the Better Way to Worship Conference April 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Never despise small beginnings. Hungary, a former satellite of the Soviet Empire, is now a distribution center for Andrew Womack's teaching materials. From this small village house,
boxes everywhere.
Andrew's translated books are being shipped across Europe in 19 languages, with more to come. Each book shipped from this house is a seed planted for a multiplied harvest to come.
They got about every spot in here used.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.